Good morning, we're calling to order the July 25th, 2012 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Huntingard Taylor, who's at the controls for the meeting today as our executive secretary. First, I think that there was an issue with double booking of this room. DPW was going to have a director's hearing meeting in this room at the same time. They have moved to room 400, so if anyone is here for DPW director's hearing, you're now in the wrong place. That's going to move to room 400, which is just down the hall on the right. A few notices about the meeting today. There'll be public hearing on the variances. The project sponsors will be given 5 minutes to present their arguments about the five findings necessary to justify a variance that we met for the project. At the time the project sponsor or owner approach, they can please hand over the posting affidavit for the project. If you don't have that with you today, please submit that after the hearing to the staff planner who is assigned to the project. Members of the public will be given 3 minutes to speak. If there's any public testimony in opposition to the project, the project sponsor or property owner will be given a 3-minute rebuttal. As I said, during this time, the project sponsor should focus on the five variance findings, which are, first, that there are exceptional extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding number two, owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of this code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of the substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to public welfare or materially injurious to the property improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of this code and will not adversely affect the master plan or general plan as it's not called. The no decision is final until a decision letter is issued. During the hearing, may indicate if we were inclined to grant, deny, grant with conditions, or continue the item to a later date, we would be asked to take a matter under advisement before making a final decision. But no decision is final until the decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, that could be up to 2 months. But the decision letter itself is the appealable document that can be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance. At the end of the hearing, there's a general public comment for items that are not on the calendar today. So you may speak during that time if you have something that is not on the calendar. But we generally encourage parties to meet and discuss that can be disruptive during the hearing, so we would ask that any conversations take place outside in the hall. And the next variance hearing will be on August 22nd. It's August 22nd. Next month's variance hearing in the same room. And also recordings of these meetings are available. Audio recordings are available on our website as a link on the agenda item. And that goes back to, I think, the January 2011 hearings. And so with that, we can move on to the first item on the regular calendar.
We don't have, this one is malfunctioning, my timer. So can we? And I have the battery is not, this is a brand new battery, and I think it's the timer itself. Can we use your cell phone?
Sorry, because we'll just get this set and move on.
So I guess we can just do that for 5 minutes.
And then just stop it.
And then wait, at the end stop and then reset.
Okay. Okay, just for the record, we have no items on our consent calendar, so we'll go ahead and start with our regular calendar. Item number one, case number 2012.0586V, 33 White Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project in the room? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Jace Levinson, and I'm the principal architect in Jace Architecture, located in Oakland, previously located in San Francisco, and we are project sponsors for 33 White, the residents of Ellen Hale. We're confronted with a fairly unique situation here in that we have a lot on a small alley in Russian Hill that is only 56 feet deep front to back. And on either side of us, to the north and to the south, the existing buildings fill out 100% of the lot. The property directly behind us is oriented perpendicular to our lot, and thus, out the back of our house, or looking towards our rear yard, we have open space that would be atypical when a lot is sort of front to back. So we have some unusual conditions here, a lot having to do with the size and the depth of the adjacent properties. The existing building is a two-story building. It's approximately 850 square feet on the upper floor, and it's unfinished with a garage on the lower floor. We're seeking to build out the garage and modify the spaces above in order to make it a suitable residence for Ms. Hale. The primary goal here is to improve the condition of the rear yard. There is an existing shed-like structure, which looks like it was some appurtenance built over time. You can find anything in the records. That exists, that is 9'11" from the rear yard. And it's kind of awkwardly taking up the rear yard space. As outdoor space and garden is premium in San Francisco, we want to reshape that, and we want to pull that back to make a larger rear yard, which in fact is what we've done. And so the footprint of our house, or the proposed house, is in fact entirely within the allowable building area. So we've improved that condition. The one condition we haven't improved is the stairway. Right? Currently there's a non-compliant, unusual wood stair that goes to the rear yard, and of course we want to have a reasonable and safe and healthy stair going to the rear yard. And so what we've done is we've pushed that up against the blind wall of the adjacent property, and the dimension of it is such that it pretty much takes up the full depth. However, in terms of intrusion into the rear yard, we're intruding 7'4". So it is that piece, the stairway, that intrudes into the rear yard and for which we are requesting the rear yard variance. We think it is really without consequence, especially given the fact that it is up against a solid one-hour blind wall property condition. Exceptional circumstances, I think I've addressed that with the unusual conditions of the lot. The typical lot in San Francisco being anywhere between 90 and 125 feet, this is very unusual, and I think it merits a special review, and that's sort of why we're here. I think when you look at the literal enforcement of that, say 25% or 15 feet, on a typical lot, which is what the planning code is really set up for, you're looking at a much bigger buildable area than what we have, and they are buildable areas that the adjacent properties have seized. We have met with the neighbors. People were fully in favor of this. They thought it was a great idea. They were looking forward to improvements and to having a long-term resident. You know, property rights, I think, you know, when you look at an 850 square feet property in San Francisco, you say that's small for a home on Russian Hill. And to build it up to 1,500 square foot of habitable space, I think is still really on the extreme side of modest for what most people would want to do in Russian Hill with the conditions that are there. You know, I think the property right really has to do with creating a reasonable living dwelling.
30 seconds remaining.
Creating a reasonable living dwelling, improving the rear yard, being sensitive to neighbors, and looking forward to improving a piece of the San Francisco fabric.
Thank you for your presentation. Thank you for very straightforward arguments. Just a couple questions.
Okay. Yes.
So you need to point out that the lot depth is less than the typical 100-foot depth. We typically have a 25 by 100-foot lot. You do have the 25-foot width, but you're limited only to about 56 feet in depth. Now, there are a couple issues here. I think there initially was a canopy proposed in front of the building that has since been removed. The stairs do very clearly require a variance. My understanding that you were going to investigate with the Department of Building Inspection whether or not that was required means egress. Do you have that conversation? Clear answer.
We did not address it that way. I think Aaron Hollister asked me if it was of a minimum size, and it is. It's 3 foot wide with the 1 hour wall and the rail, and we haven't exceeded that. I don't want to answer that definitively. There's two things here. I mean, one is egress, but this doesn't really let you out in terms of egress. This lets you into a backyard. I mean, I think the goal here for the client is to enjoy the backyard, to have a garden.
To provide the direct access from the common space on the second level to the rear yard, whereas on the lower level, it's proposed to be a master bath. So this would allow them to have direct access to the rear yard. So it's not for a means of egress, but it's the minimum dimensions required under the building code, and it provides the direct access from the common area of the home to the rear yard.
That's right. It essentially makes the rear yard a potential social space where friends can come.
And then the adjacent property to the north, while not full lot coverage, does extend to the rear property line, and you're not extending any further, obviously. And
no, we're not.
Look, it does seem that, and as it was noticed too, the second level does require a slight variance for, I think, a kitchen expansion. But that is, while it needs a variance, it's something that is within the 10% deviation that we can review administratively.
It's 4 inches.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item on 33 White Street? Seeing none, we close public hearing on this item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that these stairs are the minimum dimension required building code for such stairs. They're not required means of egress, but they do provide direct access from the common areas on the second floor down to the rear yards, so one can enjoy that useful open space. It is a substandard lot in that it is only, it's 56 or so feet in depth, by only 25 feet wide. This would be a client site grant for request variance. And public hearing is closed. We can move on to the next item.
Item number 2, case number 2012-0173V, 404 Jersey Street, also known as 1352 and 1354 Castro Street. Is the project sponsor on this case here today?
Is the project sponsor here for 404 Jersey Street? This had previously been scheduled for hearing, I think, 2 months ago, but the project sponsor did not show at that time either. We had given them feedback that initially that it would be difficult for variance to justify. Staff did a site visit this last week and noticed that there was no poster on the property. We haven't heard anything from the project sponsor in more than 2 months. I'm assuming that the project has been abandoned and would be inclined to deny the requested variance. And we can move on to the next item. Public hearing is closed, seeing that there's no one here. Sir, are you here for 404 Jersey at all?
Yeah.
Okay. So seeing that there's no one here for this item, public hearing is closed. The variance is inclined to deny it, and we can move on to the next item.
Case number 3, case number 2012-0463V, 2923 Harrison Street. Rear yard, open space, and exposure variances sought. Is the project sponsor here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you very much. I'm Michael Tauber. I'm the architect for the project, and the homeowner, Vito Sacheri, is here also to show support. What we're asking to do is, well, first off, the project sits on a standard 25-by-100-foot lot. The existing rear yard setback as built in 1938 was only 18 feet 10, and that's to a sunroom on the second floor. What we're asking to do is to build out the ground floor, which has been used as an unwarranted unit, and make that a warranted unit for the owner's elderly mother. And in doing so, what we'd like to do is add a 62 square foot addition that lines up with the existing sunroom below on the ground floor only, so on a first floor horizontal addition. So we've asked, in order to do that, there are actually three variances that we have to meet, which is that we need to meet first the usable open space from 135, the not facing an open area for 140, and lastly, the rear yard setback rear yard setback in RH2 zoning. They're all related, really. And so the first thing I wanted to say is that our goal was to be respectful of our neighbors while designing a really highly functional interior for the owner's elderly mother. So in the RH2 zoning, two units are permitted. At this time, as I said, there's an unwarranted unit on the ground floor that we'd like to make warranted. In terms of it, issues of open space, because there's a limited rear yard of 18 feet 10, we looked at different methods to provide access from the second floor, and that included looking at either providing private open space in the form of a deck or providing interior stairs or exterior stairs. But each of those options would be problematic. One is the exterior deck would, on the second floor, would not meet the required number of square feet to begin with. In addition, it would raise the height of the addition that we're proposing, which would be more detrimental to the neighbors to the north, in specific. The stair, with regards to interior stair, it would compromise the functionality of both the existing house and anything that we do below it. An exterior stair would be materially detrimental to the neighbors' views and light, as it would, again, encroach into the rear yard. And most importantly, an exceptional quality is that this building sits across from Garfield Park, a place where the owner raised their family, their son, with a condition where they never had access to their rear yard. They have never had access to their rear yard. So this, in some ways, because the family member that would be occupying that ground floor would be actually improving the condition because they now have unfettered access to the rear yard through a family member's unit. The idea with regards to preservation or enjoyment of substantial property right, it is RH2 zoning. Currently, as I mentioned, is only being used as legally it's only one unit now, so they are entitled to have a second unit. And that, again, the access to that rear yard now is through unwarranted units. So in fact, we're improving access because of a family member. Such variance it is not materially detrimental to provide this open space, not have the open space, and to actually provide any of the these variances, in as much as that it really from this there's no effect whatsoever to the southern neighbor or to the rear neighbor, and the north neighbor, the addition that we're proposing would sit only against a drive aisle, and their building is set back significantly, so that with respect to being detrimental to it would not be detrimental. And that, in fact, because it's only a single story rear addition of 62 square feet.
20 seconds remaining.
Okay, thank you. So in summary, I think the big issues here are that that there is an open space across from the building. There's a significant reason to believe that they'll have access to the rear yard through the members.
Sorry.
We're rolling an alarm sound down. Thank you for your presentation, noting that this is a smaller lot than typical for the city overall at the 25 by 70 and a half feet, but it is typical for vernal heights and where you get these shallower lots. The building was built prior to our current code requirements for rear yard, so it does extend into the existing rear yard, and under current code interpretations, you can actually infill the void without any per variance. So the variance here is, as you noted, just for that minor addition for the bathroom, and that is no higher than a ground story. You typically have a fence of 10 feet high in the rear yard, and that's code compliant. So it's a relatively minor impact on the rear yard. I do have concerns as relayed by staff to you about the accessibility of the rear yard. Thank you for clarifying that this is legalizing an existing unit. Is this currently an occupied unit?
I had up until the last month.
Okay. And so that kind of vacated it, and now the occupied owner's family.
Correct.
Okay. And then, you know, did note on the plans that there are things like grab bars in the bathroom, so it does seem that's honestly what it's going to be used for, and often people will come in and say whatever might be expedient at the hearings, but I, you know, appreciate your transparency there about how it will be used, and also pointing out the features in the neighborhood that would also provide usable open space. So thank you for your presentation. I'll see if there's any public comment. Is there any public comment on this item? We're on item number 32923 Harrison Street. So seeing none, I'd be close the public hearing, and I would be inclined to grant the requested variance. I would hold the decision letter until the section 311 expires, which is next week, or it's coming up in 2 days on Friday the 28th. So. And with that, we are anxious over the weekend. Yeah, is that the question? No.
This is the, I think this is what you're looking at, declaration of post.
Yeah. So that's sort of file. Like the 311 notice expires, appears on Saturday, so the last day to file the VR would be on Monday, and we would have a final decision letter prepared after that section 311 does expire. And we can move on to the next item.
So item number 4, case number 2010.0608V, 217 Montcalm Street, front setback variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Ernie Sealand, the architect of the project. I think this is a pretty clear case of a hardship, not of our own making. It's actually imposed by the city when you lower the street. In this picture, you can see the garage that we're talking about as it previously existed. Today, we have this situation where we're significantly above the street level. All we're asking to do is relocate the garage to make a driveway approach possible. We have overwhelming neighborhood support. Along with my declaration of posting, I've got copies of the letters that have already been sent to Diego Sanchez. And we have a couple neighbors in the back here, too, that can be raised their hands really quickly to show their support. And other than that, I think I need to waste any more of your time. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Okay, well, thank you for the brief presentation. So, noting that this is another similar lot in Vernal Heights, it's a 25 by 70 foot lot. I was shocked and amused to know that while there was a garage there, I think very difficult even with an off-road vehicle to get up that front setback there. So, thank you for your presentation. And we'll see if there's any public comment. I appreciate members of the public coming down to show their support. You will have 3 minutes to speak if you so choose. But if there's any member of the public at all that would like to speak, you will have 3 minutes to do so.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
I said you earlier that 222 Mill Pond across the street, and it's true that this place was just ruined by the street going through. It was way below grade of this place, and the owner had just bought it. He's still there and has preserved it in a really lovely way. But wasn't expecting the street to go through, so he had no time to anticipate it. And it was cut. There were no houses from there, about 9 lots to the east at the time. And so the decisions were made in favor of the existing houses on the north side of the street, and it just wasn't accommodated. It's a lovely historical property that will be useful again. It also stayed the way it is.
Right, thank you. Any other public comment on this item on 217 Mulcon Street?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Sure. My name is Ron Nagel. I live at 222 Mulcon, directly across the street from Mr. Seymour. As the architect stated, I mean, basically, this was a situation that was forced upon him when the city paved the street. It was until, 30 years ago, a dirt road, thereby narrowing the sidewalk and forcing him, forcing him into a situation where he had to get rid of the garage, which was accessible. So one of the issues that did not come up is the fact that parking up there is absolutely crazy, and across the street, if you see in the area, it's like all these new, million-plus-dollar houses that have garages, and people are still parking in their driveways, still parking on the street, and it's kind of, and also that the street is only has parking on one side, so. It would solve a lot of problems from a variety of points of view, not the least of which is James having a place to park, because it's a rotations situation. And it was forced upon by the city. I think this whole thing started initially by a neighbor complaining the sidewalk was too narrow and making it difficult to walk their dog, whatever the case may be. But he didn't create that situation. And now he's going to have to pay to have a garage put in there, which the city messed up in the first place. So it seems quite unfair. I mean, I know we're not dealing with fairness here, but...
I appreciate your comments. I think it provides some very valuable clarity on the context here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item? Seeing none, the project sponsor would have a 3-minute rebuttal if you so choose. And now we close the public hearing on the item. I really appreciate the members of the public coming out and providing the valuable public testimony on this, and also the context here. As I said, would that be inclined to grant the requested variances, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 5, case number 2012-0688V, 117 Lyon Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Stuart Hills. I'm the project architect for 117. I want to go over the special circumstances relating to the project. We've been talking about small lots today. We're in another situation where a T-shaped key lot that is about 8,800 square feet, it's the second largest block on the lot, and it's three times the size of a normal lot. It's currently occupied by a three-unit condominium, with the subject unit having exclusive rights to the rear yard at the rear of the property. The largest lot is on Central, the multi-unit building that occupies most of the lot on this this block. The mid-block open space is buried. There's a significant cross slope with the buildings on Page. You can see here the building on Page is significantly higher. Over the course of the entire block, there's about a 32-foot change in elevation. The buildings on Oak Face are directly across from Panhandle. because of its unusual shape and size, if we were to just look at the quantitative maximum buildable area, you can see it's quite significant. It's very discontinuous, though, in that scenario. And what we are proposing, even though it sits outside the allowable buildable area, quantitative allowable buildable area, square footage size, it actually represents a really small percentage of the theoretical build-out. Now, during our planning review, the RDT made a request of just a standard pop-out, which you can see in the massing right there. The only problem with that is it really ignores the potential vast amount of buildable area that is available to the owner, which is quantitatively, again, about 5,300 square feet. And it also kind of ignores the unique properties of the site. The history of the site is such that there has been shifts back and forth that have resulted in what was previously buildable area in the 1977 split becoming non-buildable area. Also, I think it doesn't acknowledge that within the proposal, we actually have a lot of setbacks that are addressing good neighbor policies and issues that come up in the residential design guidelines. You'll notice on this proposal, the design steps back 11.5 feet from the north property for most of the addition. It also remains 3 feet back to the last 24 inches of travel along the property line. The owner to the south had expressed concern about a proposal about the portion of the property in the allowable buildable area that's in behind his property. So we were able to meet with him and come up with a compromise that would remove that portion and expand it actually a little bit further in the rear yard, but thus eliminating coming up beyond what is a projection of his property line right here. We're fond in San Francisco of saying that sometimes small lots need small houses. I think the inverse holds true that sometimes a large lot can bulk a large house. I know you've received some letters from neighbors. I can specifically address them, but I think an effective point that we can make is that it's in the buildable area that we are wanting to use. We're a triple width lot, so therefore our addition is largely surrounded by a 25-foot buffer on all sides. We were working with a different set of information when we developed the current design, but this is the design that was presented at the pre-app meeting, and there were no objections raised. I think the key takeaway is that this is an extraordinarily exceptional lot. It is oversized, it's an odd shape, it contains a large potential of buildable areas that are discontinuous with the existing house, has a significant cross slope, and I think the RDT solution doesn't really address those unique conditions. I think a variance would be more in keeping with the residential design guides and the intent of Section 134 than an addition that is compliant with a quantitative rear yard standards that we would have to consider if we were not going for the variance. I think to restrict the expansion of the building to a pop-out
30 seconds remaining.
Undue hardship on the owner of the subject property. I'm happy to answer your questions. I know the owner would like to say a few words later.
So there will be a 3-minute rebuttal where the owner can speak during that time. You did work with the adjacent property to the north on Lyon Street. That's what you see it, right? To kind of revise some of the design.
We worked with, to the south.
To the south?
Yes.
Okay, so you worked with the, so I think we, we received.
You received letters from the north, whose property is.
Did you have any contact with the properties in the north at any time during the...
Prior to even applying for the variance, we had some back and forth with them. They expressed the concerns that I think they related to you in the letter. I tried to indicate the actions that we had taken to them. In showing that we have significant setbacks, if we were to do a standard pop-out, we would be 5 feet off their property line, whereas what we're proposing has a courtyard that's 11.5 feet. And the only portion of the property, the only part where we come close to their property is actually in the rear corner here. I know they've also expressed some concern about the louvered wall that separates the outdoor areas from them. During pre-app meeting, we had expressed that we'd be willing to make that as solid or as transparent as they wanted. And that offer still remains open.
Thank you. We'll take public testimony on this item then. So any public comment on this item? Item number 5, 117 Lyon Street.
Please approach the mic, sir. You have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Eugene Locke, and I'm the owner of the property on 1453 Oak Street, which is north of this, this big T part. A few things I'd like to comment on. First of all, is that the reason why they were able to get such a big lot is that they were acquiring the middle section that was actually owned by PG&E in the past. And as you can see in the previous plan, the diagram that they showed, that was that was taken into without taking into account that lot. And if you were to follow this logic, let's say if they were able to acquire the lot directly across the block, does this mean that they can build a building straight, all the way straight across the middle of the lot? Secondly, is that in the past, in the 90s, this lot had already been developed. And at that time, they had a plan for a building, which is a lot less aggressive than this one. And that was also shut down, and they had to come up with a compromise, which is what stands today. And this building right now represents a monstrosity. If they were planning to build this the way they plan it now, my backyard would be facing almost like a wall, literally a four-story huge wall, because they are going to build right at the edge of the property. Now, Oak Street is below this whole block is a slope, and Oak Street is obviously on downslope. So they are building a three-story building. Essentially, I have, and so from my point of view, from where I'm standing in my backyard, I'm basically looking at a four-story building. So there's obviously going to be a problem with light. And not only light, but noise pollution as well. The other thing I'm really concerned about is that as wide as this lot is in the back, in the front it is still a standard lot. And I have real concerns about fire safety, because if you count the total number of units that are going to be sitting on that lot, in the fire emergency, they're all going to have to excavate through the front, because there's no other fire escape throughout for the rest of the area. And I have not seen anything addressed by this. And lastly, I apologize, I don't have enough time to prepare for this because I have been out of town for a week and I did not know about this until just before I left town. So I wish I had more material to present to you. However, clearly the owners did not follow, even though they may have followed the letter to the letter of the law about the further process. I was not notified by it, and I certainly question the respect they have to the neighbors.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Is there any other public comment on this item on 117 Lyon Street? Please step forward.
You also have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Jeff Hutchinson. I own the property at 1312 Page Street, which is this lot here. This is basically the back of my building envelope and a small rear yard, similar to the conditional on our street. We've been owners here since 2007. First of all, there has been no consultation with us or I think either of my adjacent neighbors in this process. This lot is kind of a third bite at the apple for this property. I think it was originally constructed, it is a unique condition, I think it was originally constructed in 1979. And there was a substantial renovation and a lot split in, I think, 97 or 98. And if you look at what's built there, it's built right up to the allowable property line. And as the previous speaker mentioned, you buy that property with the lot. This property traded maybe a year, year and a half ago. And it's a perfectly habitable, I think it's a 2,400 square foot house with a unique large lot. And you know, what's very different about this application than any applications that I've listened to today is the entire project requires the variance. The other projects or proposals require partial variances to allow for pop-outs or staircases or some access. This, the entire building is unfeasible unless they grant the variance.
So sorry, just to clarify, I don't want to take away from your time, but the variance is actually just for the rearmost portion of the building. So it's not for the entire project itself. It's for the extension of the rear. So they just show on the overhead what they could do without a variance. They could do a small pop-out.
But this is 21 feet into the rear.
Yeah, I mean, it is a substantial encroachment.
So as I counted, it's about 740 square feet of livable area. And it's probably not worth undertaking a project if you can only do the pop-out. They're essentially trying to increase the size of the livable area of the house by 40%. I have submitted a letter, which if you haven't received yet, I can hand it into the record. But you know, the zoning variance is granted for unique situations and circumstances. There are five criteria by which people can be granted a variance. I don't think that the variance here is necessary to preserve any property rights. I don't think it's necessary to overcome any hardships. And there's obviously significant, many of the neighbors weren't consulted, and I think if they had consulted us from the get-go, a project of this size and expansion of this lot would have and is going to continue to face significant opposition. There's not much precedent for granting a variance such as this, and I think if the variance were granted of this nature, it would set a bad precedent for this block and for other residential blocks in the area. So thank you for hearing my comments. Hopefully this won't be granted, and if the property owners would like to do something with the property, it would be nice if other people were consulted along the way. Thank you. Can I leave this with you?
Yes. Okay. I just would note for the benefit of everyone that variances themselves are not precedent setting. They take into account the circumstances of a particular property. So they are, as a matter of course, not precedent setting, but I appreciate your comments. Thank you. Any other members of the public for comment on 117 Lyon Street? Please step forward.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. My name is Catherine Jonk. I'm the property owner at 1314 Page Street. I did not get any notification about the pre-app application. As Jeff said, none of us were notified that this project was going to happen. And I'll just read from my letter, because that would just be more to the point. So I'm the property owner at 1314 Page Street. I have a three-story property that includes an apartment on the lower level with my two-story home above. My property will be directly affected by the proposed addition. My three outside decks, my kitchen, my dining room, my master bedroom upstairs, my master bathroom upstairs, my lower yard with a hot tub, and my lower apartment all face the proposed structural three-story addition. So there are windows on the side of the building. The proposed addition will be standing directly in front of these rooms and areas of my building. The proposed addition would block my views, which include downtown and panhandle air and space for my yard, the apartment, and all the aforementioned rooms. I and my family would be looking at the entire three-story sidewall of the proposed addition, and there are windows on the sidewall of the addition, so we would lose our privacy to our yard, apartment, and home. The three-story addition would encroach greatly on our space. And I also was under the impression that this will extend into the yard, and I assume that if the addition at 117 Lyon Street is approved, then that sets a precedent for other property owners in this immediate area to go ahead and also plan additions. We could ultimately lose the lovely garden space and rear yards that we enjoy being surrounded by. So that's my objection to this project.
Thank you for your comments. Any other members of the public to speak on 117 Lyon Street? Please step forward.
You also have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. My name is Ben Barka. I own the property at 1459. I own the property at 1459 Oak Street. I've had that property since 1975. At the present time, there is a building on Central Street which covers half of my backyard. And if this building goes up, I'm going to be enclosed completely by high-rises. For me, being on the lower side of a hill, I understood somebody said that you'd be looking up at a four-story, but I think it'd be even more, it would be blocking off even more of our light. We are limited now because of buildings that are around us. Most of these buildings were built when we didn't have any laws about how high a building could be built. My house was built in the late 1800s, as well as several other homes along there, sort of small, one-story homes. And I'm afraid that we are not going to be able to get any light, and we're going to be enclosed completely with large buildings. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any other members of the public here to speak on 117 Lyon Street? If there are no other members of the public, please step forward and hear.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
My name is Dave Lindsay, and I'm a renter at 1316 Page Street. I submitted a letter, and also I'd like to check and make sure an email was submitted by the owner of the property, Bill Wilson. Did you receive that?
We did receive emails yesterday, last night, but they haven't been added to the file yet, but we are aware of the
communications.
Yes, he's out of town today. I'd like to say that one of the things that I really liked about the apartment when I rented it was the fact that we had this wonderful backyard in the back that was there and seemed to be a permanent place. And now that if they're going to build a building there, they're going to increase the size of the house by the 40%, and they're going to block the view that I have of downtown. It's a small view, but I do have that. They're going to probably cut out a lot of the evening light that I get from that side of the house. And it'd just be that I'm going to have this big building sitting right next to the house there. I also wonder, the house is a very large house. I think there's like 3 bedrooms downstairs and a master bedroom upstairs. And if they're going to add the additional space, are they adding additional people, which is going to cause us to have a real parking problem in that neighborhood? Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Are there any other members of the public here to speak on 117 Lyon Street? Seeing none, we can move back to the project sponsor. You've given a 3-minute rebuttal. So either the owner or the architect can speak.
Hi, my name is Jen Cash, and I'm the owner of 117 Lyon, along with my husband. And first, I'd like to apologize to my neighbors that are here to the extent they feel like we didn't give them proper notice. When we first moved into the house, we hosted an open house party, and we sent flyers around all the neighborhood. And at that party, which many of our neighbors attended, including some of the ones that originally had objections but have since withdrawn them, we told them all about our project and why we were doing it. One of the main reasons is that I have a multi-generational household. My husband is Mexican, and his mother lives with us, as does presently his brother-in-law, my brother-in-law, but I'm trying to get him out. And we are trying to start a family, and the house inside is not adequately suited for that. And also, the reason that I purchased this home was because of the fact that it had this amazing yard. It was so unique a property, and especially being a condo. And so I'm not trying to encroach into that yard at all, and I intend to keep it and preserve it at my expense and beauty for all of my neighbors. And that was also expressed at the pre-application meeting, which we did pursuant to the rules. We sent letters to everybody who abutted the property, and only 2 people attended. And we talked with them about the project and why we were doing it and what it was for us. And you know, frankly, I was considering moving out to the suburbs to start my family. There's just not really what adequate space in the city for me that I felt I could use to enjoy this kind of yard and the step back from the street with the condos in the front. And I feel that not having the ability to build in what I think is a very minimal amount of the buildable area I have, only 20% of what I could build on, in a way that is designed using sun studies and very carefully using good elements and clear, you know, working with our neighbors to make it as attractive as possible, I feel that that's the best use of the space for me and my family needs. And then, you know, lastly, I think is also to understand, I mean, I know that people are saying that the house, the square footage and those kinds of things, but there's no garage. I share a garage in a condo because it's a condo, so I have no storage space in the current house. It's just not feasible right now, and having this yard to be able to build into it was something that is meets my family needs, and I can start to have the children that we would like to have in the house is why we are applying for this variance, and it's taking a very long time and very frustrating, actually. But that's all I have to say, unless you have any questions for me specifically.
Just a few questions. So the current size of the building is 2,352 square feet according to the plans. There's two buildings on the lot. We have the two-unit building in the front, then the single family in the back. On the existing plans, if we're showing four bedrooms in the existing home, three on a lower level, and then there's the master bath upstairs. On the proposed plans, the size is increasing to 3,295 square feet, but we're actually reducing the number of bedrooms. So we have two bedrooms, I think, on the lower level of bed and bed slash au pair, then there is the master suite. So how does reducing the number of bedrooms lend itself to correcting deficiencies that would allow multi-generational generational living?
Yeah, so I think actually unless I'm incorrect, the lower plan would still have three bedrooms. It would have a master bedroom, au pair sort of suite, and then it would have two bedrooms. And so it would have three rooms on the bottom floor.
Okay, because the plans, unless I'm missing something, they don't show that. They show a great room at the rear with the sewing, then there's a craft room, and then there's the bed slash au pair. So
the idea is that this would be potentially habitable for the mother-in-law.
Yeah, it would be connected. The great room would be sort of like her space so that she would be, it would be all connected and she would be sleeping in there. That would be a bedroom slash great room.
Okay.
For her.
Okay, so it's just not labeled as such, but...
Yeah.
And then that would...
And then the children are hopefully... the children would be here with the Jack and Jill bath, so they'd be close to her, and then that could, potentially, or, if you have no care or whatever. And
so if
so
the...
three there on the first floor.
So if the great room and craft room were to become another bedroom, then that would bring it up to four bedrooms, which is currently the number of bedrooms in the house.
Right. Part of the issue with the bedrooms as they currently are, and also the house in general, for example, is the main floor has no bathroom on it, for example. So if you have guests, they have to go into one of the bedrooms to go to the bathroom. There also is issues with the size of the bedrooms that exist. The house has very bad insulation as it's currently developed, and a lot of the current square footage is big open space. So as you might imagine, it's not the most comfortable thing in the world to live in a house with your mother-in-law when you're married. And as it is, we're sort of on top of each other despite the size of the house because of the way it's set up. It's very much set up almost like a loft space as it currently exists. There's very little storage, very little closet space. And also, and frankly, one of the most frustrating things is it doesn't go into the yard. There's no access to the yard in the current structure except through the two lower bedrooms, which is a very bizarre setup and plan. So when we bought the house, we were under the impression that we'd be able to build out and build this nice space that was sort of an indoor-outdoor space.
So have you looked at alternatives that would be code-complying that would add the bathroom on the main level or improve the access to the rear yard?
The only option that we can see without adding it, without doing the variance, would be to do, because of the way that the buildable area is set up, as I think Stuart explained, initially it's very disjointed, and so it would require sort of very bizarre, weird-shaped rooms and the like to get the square footage you need, would be to do a complete teardown. And that, if the variance isn't approved, that is actually what we're going to consider.
Would be to demolish and rebuild.
Yeah, which I don't want to do, because I feel like that's wasteful. And we can make the best use of this space by using this variance, which I frankly think is a very minimal one considering the size of the lot and that we preserve for everybody.
I would agree that it is an exceptionally large lot.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's why we bought it. It was for the lot.
All right. Well, thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
So with that, we'll close the public hearing on the item. Frankly, I find it actually very difficult to justify a variance for this property. Even the Planning Department's residential design team has not found that the proposal meets the requirements of our residential design guidelines. That said, I would at this point take the matter under advisement and request that the project sponsor work with the residential design team and the neighbors as well to look at alternatives that would ideally be code compliant, so a variance is not required. But, you know, look at other alternatives, but the project as proposed is not appropriate. So if there are no modifications made to the proposal, then we would deny the variance. But at this point, request that we'll keep it open, at least allow the project sponsor time to work with our staff to look at alternatives. But I would say that the project as proposed is definitely not something that I would feel comfortable granting a variance on. And would ask you to work with the neighbors and staff to come up with something that is, like I said, ideally code compliant, but also would meet the residential design guidelines. That's an absolute must for a project to move forward. So with that, again, public hearing is closed, taking the matter under advisement, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 6, case number 2012-0541B, the Botanical Garden Nursery of the Golden Gate Park. Parking variance sought. So, you're the sponsor. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. I have an affidavit for posting here. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Debbie Cardigainer. I'm with the law firm of Sedgwick, and I'm representing the San Francisco Botanical Garden Society. We are requesting a variance for the proposed nursery and Center for Sustainable Gardening to reduce the number of needed parking spaces from 3 to 1. This will be a working greenhouse within Golden Gate Park that is occupied by both city employees and by employees and input and volunteers of the society itself. It is intended to replace an existing greenhouse which has been used for several decades. There are exceptional circumstances here because the nursery facility is constrained by the uses surrounding it, including roadways, paths, planted gardens, and parkland in its existing vegetated state. All proposed development in Golden Gate Park, as opposed to any other properties also designated for public use, is a subject of intense scrutiny and much encouragement, rightly so, to minimize the amount of impervious surfaces and paving within the park so as to maximize public enjoyment of open space. Given the demand for the parking area is likely to be low and easily accommodated by the surrounding area, including the music conference parking garage, which is not very far away, it would be an unnecessary hardship with respect to the public's enjoyment of the park as a whole to have 3 parking spaces. The variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of the substantial property right that's possessed by other properties in the same district, as most of the other institutional uses in the park, including the remainder of the Botanical Garden and the Japanese Tea Garden, do not provide off-street parking. The granting of the variance would not be material detrimental to the public welfare. In fact, it would be quite the contrary. As a result of the number of spaces being reduced and the amount of paving being reduced, members of the public will be able to enjoy additional open space within Golden Gate Park. This proposal is consistent with the goals and objectives of the general plan and the Golden Gate Park master plan. For instance, one policy provides that that people must gradually reduce automobile traffic in and around public areas. And the reduction in the number of parking spaces from 3 to 1 will help comply with that policy. It will discourage efforts to park at the nursery and will help to divert cars driven by nursery occupants to roads outside of Golden Gate Park. But it will still have a single proposed space that would be ADA accessible for people who have special needs. In summary, the letter of determination that was issued for this project several years ago notes, the elimination or reduction of parking spaces would be in keeping with the city's transit-first policy, as well as the general plan's recreation and open space element policies, which encourage preservation of existing public open space and the reduction of vehicles traffic around public spaces. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Very clearly pointed out, this is one of those cases where we have a planning code which sets requirements citywide, but sometimes they do run up against the goals and the objectives of the general plan. And so in this case, it does seem reasonable there to allow a variance for the parking. But I will, before doing anything else, I can see if there's any public comment on this item on the Botanical Garden Nursery. Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that there are numerous options for parking on the street at Golden Gate Park, and this does meet the goals and objectives of the general plan. So we can move on to the next item, item number 7.
Item number 7, case number 2011-0918V, 20-22 Darrell Place, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is Dave Stern. I'm the representative for Butler Arms and Architects, the project sponsor. this project is just a reconstruction of existing decks in the rear yard. It's really the exact same footprint and configuration of the decks. It's necessary to replace these because they are existing to the original building, and the rear yard is very steep and unusable, so it would be kind of imperative to keep this to use an actual open space. And they're in pretty bad disrepair. They need to be reconstructed. In conclusion, I'll take any questions.
Great, thank you. To note that the lot is another substandard lot. While it's a little wider than typical at 27.5, it's fairly shallow at 6.25. Just reconstructing the existing, using the width, adding a deck. The Section 311 notice expires on August 11th, coming up soon, but has already been to the Historic Preservation Commission on June 6th, where they did adopt a certificate of appropriateness for the proposal, motion number 0160, and today we received one letter in support, but the CMA did receive two letters in support. So with that, we'll see if there's any public comment on the item. So this is item number 7 for 20-22 Darrell Place. Seeing none, we would close the public hearing on this item and be inclined to grant the request for variance, noting the replacement of the existing features, the C of A, and also the lot size. So again, the public hearing is closed, inclined to grant. Would just hold the decision letter until the end of the Section 311 notification period. That's fairly typical for our process. And with that, we can move on to the next item, item number 8.
Item number 8, case number 2012.0154V, 3415 21st Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Jeffrey Gaynor. I'm the architect on the project. This lot is it's a corner lot in the western periphery of the Liberty Hill Historic District. It's substandard size. It's only 61 feet long. It is a little bit wider than the typical 25 in the area, although the immediate neighbors are much larger. The rear setback is therefore only 15 feet, and the variance request is that we are allowed to create a off-street parking spot in that rear setback. There is no street parking on Ames Street, the street off which the parking would come. So we would not be removing any street spaces, but we would be taking one car off the street. We would also be expanding an existing rear laundry porch that is currently within the required rear setback. We would be expanding that by 46 square feet. And putting a kitchen in there, the parking would actually be somewhat below this structure. The driveway would be ramped down underneath the existing structure. And to do this, we would be removing an existing fence that was built in the 1970s, which is not in the same style as the classical revival original house. And the new wall with the garage door would be in a compatible style with that house.
Thank you for your presentation. This case is actually fairly similar to the last one. You also had a certificate of appropriateness granted by the Historic Preservation Commission in June. You're doing a minor extension of the deck to increase the usable open space, adding parking. It's also a small lot, similar to the last case, 28 feet wide by 61 feet deep. Section 311 notice has expired, I think, on July 15th. There were no discretionary review requests filed. So with that, I will just go see if there's any public comment on this item.
Okay.
Is there any public comment on item number 8, 3415 21st Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on the item. We'll be inclined to grant the requested variance again.
Excuse me, I have an affidavit for
posting. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Noted the CLA issued by the Historic Preservation Commission and the increase in usable open space, the addition of parking, and the physical constraints proposed on the small lot here. Also, the section 211 has expired without any discretionary use being filed, so public hearing is closed. Compliance approved. We can move on to the next item, item number 9.
Item number 9, case number 2012.0702V, 331 Nevada Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Ian Murray. I'm the project architect of this property. This is a quick photo of what the residence looks like from the street. It's in Vernal Heights. It's a substandard lot, 70 feet deep. It has significant challenges with its cross slopes, both north, south, and east, west. We're seeking a variance to project into the rear yard. Properties of this nature are required to have a 35% open rear yard. Normal properties would have a 20% requirement for the rear yard. The property has a deck currently existing, which I believe is non-conforming, probably built without a permit, and that represents the footprint existing of what it takes up, well into the rear yard setback. We are proposing to tear the deck down so that the owner can have more of the yard available for planting. But because of the nature of the house, the livable space is mostly on the second floor. Street level has a bedroom as well, and the yard is a full floor below that. So getting to the yard is kind of difficult, and there is no real access or use of the yard from a normal standpoint that most people with decks would enjoy. You have to go two stories down to the yard. So what we'd like to do is remove the existing deck, which you can see here, and come back and build a two-story deck system, one at the ground floor level, one at the top floor level, and then have a staircase connecting the lower level to the yard. I tried to keep it within reason. There are normal requirements if you want to put furniture outside. There are, you know, spatial requirements for that. So within the requirements of the code, having the 24-foot, 35% rear yard setback really presents itself as having a non-usable deck. You can't put furniture out there. You can't actually have a staircase to the yard. You'd be taking up at least 3 feet of the deck to get to the yard. So I've tried to design the deck so that it barely extends beyond the house to the south, which is clearly into the rear yard setback, and that is the footprint of the house itself. And the neighbor to the north, they do not have a deck, but I've tried to angle the system so that I'm not encroaching any more into the rear yard that they would be allowed to have. So that's the nature of it. It's just a game of numbers.
Thank you for your presentation. I appreciate the note there and showing the topography of the lot. And the floor plans here, seeing that this is providing direct access from the uppermost levels and from the kitchen, and there's a bedroom as well at the rear of the building, but the access would just be off of the kitchen to the uppermost deck, then the spiral stair down to the lower deck, which at that level there is a bedroom which would have access and was like a laundry.
Yes, it's for garage and laundry. I also wanted to point out the way the variance is written in your item number 9, the new deck would be at the lower level, would extend 13 feet into the yard. The upper deck would only extend 9 feet. So that's, I'm trying to stagger it, just so it's the staircase to the yard that is presenting the problem.
I think it's a thoughtful design. You know, first, it's good that you are decreasing the size of the existing deck, but angling it definitely does help given the nature of both of the adjacent properties. So I think it's a thoughtful transition between those two properties. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 9, 331 Nevada Street. Seeing that, we close the public hearing on the item. And if I just get clarification on the Section 311 notice, I think it's been prepared, it has not yet been issued.
No, it has been issued. I spoke with Rich when we got it 2 weeks ago. We posted the notification in the window. I've just received notice that the deadlines are the 3rd of July.
Or
August.
August, okay.
Yeah, so we just got that notification. So the sign is up already. For 2 weeks.
Okay, so the Section 311 notification is underway. And so I'd be inclined to grant the requested variance, closing the public hearing on it, of course, granting the requested variance. I wouldn't hold the decision letter until the end of the Section 311 notification period to see if there's any additional public comment that arises during that time. But otherwise, we can then move on to the next item, item number 10.
Okay. Item number 10 is case number 2010.01033V, 4226 22nd Street. Rear yard, exposure, and non-conforming structure variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Hal Richards. I'm the owner of the property at 4226. I bought the home with the rear building in 1996. I've had two tenants during those 16 years. I'm a San Francisco school teacher, Bay Area musician. My home is small. It has approximately 550 square feet on each floor, basically a living room and a kitchen down and two bedrooms up. I'd like to add space to the home and include a studio to teach and have rehearsals. The main impetus for the project is to repair the foundation, which has got about a third of it is brick and it's crumbling. And also the ceiling height of the downstairs is about 7 feet one. So it's an upside down Victorian, big ceilings upstairs, small ceilings downstairs. As part of the building process, I have to variation. Probably has observed that I need a variation. Okay. The building in the rear has one room, a kitchen, and a bathroom. It was built in 1945, and a permit was obtained, and the permit basically says to add room. The sandbar map shows it from the late 40s on. The photographs here show that it is continuous and that it is connected to the original building. That was one of the issues. The sandbar map showed it actually not connected to the building. The tenants that I've had there, they love the privacy. It's quiet. It's a garden level home. They have always had bikes or used public transport, which is nearby and frequent. The location of the building has always been an advantage to the tenants, and there have never been any concerns expressed by the neighbors. The block, 2766, has a number of non-conforming buildings built into the middle or the rear of the blocks. The adjacent lot has, at the back, is a house that was built in the rear of their lot, basically the same time as mine. There are precedents on my block for multiple non-conforming structures. None of the situations have caused any adverse effects in the neighborhood. The literal enforcement of the code would really require me to demolish the building. It's been there for 67 years, and without any complaint or adverse effects, so therefore, I am requesting a variance.
Thank you. And so, to be clear for the public too, that the project itself, the addition, is at the front of the building, which does not require the variance.
Absolutely, that's correct.
And so, it's my understanding that you had come in for the application, and maybe the Department of Building Inspection noticed the rear building and identified it as something that may not have been properly permitted. So you're seeking that now, while you're doing the addition of the front, to legalize the structure at the rear, and that's something you've done has been in place for 67 years without any apparent compliance, and it wasn't actually a notice of violation that you received. If this was something that during the process of doing your project you found out about the rear being illegal. And how long have you owned the property?
1996.
Since 1996. So you have owned it a substantial amount of time. The unit at the back is currently occupied. Is
correct.
That right? Okay. Thank you. So we'll see if there's any public comment next. Is there any public comment on this item, item number 10-4226 22nd Street? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on this item. And I think, had this been a new construction, I would have had different opinion on the proposal, but given that it is something that has been in place for 67 years without any apparent complaints from the neighbors, and that is an existing unit that is occupied, and those are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances that justify granting of the variance. So with that, be inclined to grant the variance. The public hearing is closed, and we can move on to the next item.
Ruby, hey, we're legal.
Well, almost. You have to finish
the project. Finish the project first. Item number 11, last case. Case number 2012-0395V, 2529-2533 Post Street. Rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Are you the project sponsor, sir? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Andy Modell. I'm the architect of the project. And first, I would just like to state that in summary of the project, it states that Section 188 prohibits the relocation or enlargement of non-compliant structures. And I want to state that, in fact, it actually does state that you may enlarge or alter or relocate or undergo a change in the specification of non-compliant structures. So.
It does say in full conformance with the code. So that's the other part. That's why the variance is needed, because it's correct. Not in compliance with the rear yard requirement.
But I would probably state that I believe that we're actually improving the conditions of the existing non-compliant structure. And the reason for that is basically there is an existing three-story blank wall to the north, to the south, that runs almost the entire length of the property line of 2529 Post Street. See the relationship to the existing deck, to the three-story wall that runs almost the entire length of the property line. So the current deck is located essentially in the center of the property as it is now. See the location of the existing deck is taking up a large portion of the existing rear yard that exists, and the shaded area represents the three-story building that is to the south of the property. So, so essentially, by reconfiguring the deck as we are, we're essentially not changing the bulk of the mass of the existing three-story deck. We're actually staggering the deck, and the three-story portion, the third-story portion of the proposed deck, has much less bulk and mass as compared to the existing three-story deck as it exists now. So, so this gives you an idea of the upper third-story. Proposed deck in relation to the existing mass and bulk of the existing third-story deck and stair. So, and by relocating it to this corner, we're creating more of an open space in this corner, in the northwest corner of the, sorry, north northeast corner of the property, that would get most of the light and air. Just a diagram of, and the shaded area represents the three-story blank wall that is to the south of the property. And you can see that that's basically, this is the, essentially the proposed third-story deck has almost no impact, or it's completely screened by the three-story blank wall of the adjacent property. This is just a representation of the proposed third-story deck as it is pushed towards the south of the property, and then this is the existing third-story deck as it is. And this is the other. What is seen about from the other side of the property. So essentially, it's the same. It's very, as far as the mass of the comparing the mass of the two decks, it's very comparable in a sense, you know, the actual massing of it, and I believe that the massing of the proposed deck is actually improved because of the tiered effect, stepping down towards the corner, towards the northeast corner of the property, allowing more light and air, both for this property and for the mid-block open space. And also, I would just like to note that almost all the properties in this area, in this immediate, both the adjacent properties, extend into the required 25% rear yard, and almost all the entire adjacent properties do so as well. And it's just a another picture of basically the adjacent properties with the three-story decks encroaching into the rear yards.
Sorry, I'll give you a couple extra seconds. I didn't interrupt you at the beginning, so if you'd like to wrap up your last thought.
Okay. So, yeah, so essentially, I believe that we're actually improving, you know, the as far as the light and air of the property itself and also the adjacent properties, I believe that we're improving the light and air requirements. And also, we're providing, you know, heated open space for all three of the units. Since the decks are the primary open space that the residents use.
So would note a couple things about this. In the stairs, you have a spiral stair going from the third level to the second level. It's my understanding that the building department, the building code, will not allow you to have the spiral down to grade. Is that correct?
That's correct. The spiral staircase would be a private staircase. It's allowed by the current California building code. Once you get to a public stair, which is where the second, the lower stair would be, since two units would be using it, you're required a different configuration, and that spiral staircase is not allowed on the lower stair.
Okay. Thank you. I think there's some public comment here, so we'll turn right now to the public comment for this item. It's the last item on the calendar, 2533 Post Street.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
My name is Josh Chang. I was the development manager of the next building, which the new desk of those two build just inches next to me. What I concern is the safety of the 2539 the next building, because next building is a 5-unit, and the most tenant is all tenant occupied. And the most of the tenant is young students, and the when I sold the property to the student, their parents is very concerned about the safety of the building. Now the new tenant supposed to build next to it, and then easily access to the roof of the next building, and it's only a few feet below that, and the firewall could be, the top of the firewall could be the step for the people go up to the roof. And the next building, there is a fire escape ladder from the roof to all the unit. And the fire escape ladder can go into to the building and to all 4 units of the bedrooms. And so that this is a big impact for the safety of the next building. And the people is very easy to get access from the next building's backyard and then go up to the roof and then go into the next building to the command area and into the bedroom, 4 bedrooms, the four apartment bedrooms. And so that the student living there, they do not expect that sometimes the stranger go into their unit and so yes.
Okay. And you, do you have any more to add or?
That's what I want to.
Okay. I think those are more concerning. Maybe we can just discuss them for a second. So. This is the property to the south, that's correct. You're representing the project to the south on Post Street?
Yeah.
Okay. And so the concern is that one would be able to access from this deck to jump onto the roof of the building?
Yeah, it's easy to stick and go up without that.
Are there any other uses?
It's only 2 feet below the...
Oh, you can come up to the microphone, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, the new deck is only 2 feet below the roof of the next building. And the, besides that, and they have a firewall. The firewall is 2 feet above the deck, and then that could be used as a step to go up to the roof.
And so, are there any other safety concerns, or is it just that someone may access the building illegally?
Yeah, the existing deck is a 2 feet apart from the building, but now this, the new deck is attached, almost touched the building, and there is a firewall, and the firewall, the top of the firewall could be the step for people to stand on it and then go on the rooftop.
Which would be trespassing against the law.
Yeah, they're easy.
But can someone now, I mean, there's something that would prevent someone from just jumping over the fence now, right? Because there's a fence that's
separate from the two. They wouldn't have to jump. They just the firewall step and then they go up to the roof.
So then it might be an attractive nuisance.
Yeah, that's easy. And when people come on the roof, they can easily go into the building because the fire escape ladder.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your concern.
Thank you.
So we can move on to the next public comment member of the public for 2529 and 2533 Post Street.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. Are you hearing me well? Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm the owner of the next door building, 2539. My name is Alice Lam. And, okay.
Could you turn it the
other one?
Now, the subject property, and I own, like this. Okay, I own the other two buildings, and I'm living at the blue building, 2543. And right adjacent to it is the 2539 Pope Street. Now, from this picture, you can see the current condition of my roof and the subject property. And this is the current condition. You see the silver part on the right-hand side is my roof. And you see, this is a few feet away, the current deck. And with stairs to go down. And this picture, you can show how close to all the adjacent neighbors on the Baker Street. Now, get back to me here. On the rooftop, if you see the subject property, you see the railing of the deck. Now, when they have proposed to have the new area, I don't know, it seems like this plan is a little bit controversial than the gentleman saw before, but nevertheless, if they propose successful, then the deck exactly adjacent to my rooftop. It's so easy, just walk up to my rooftop. And the building design on both the building, and there's fire escape ladder, so easy from the roof to all the units for safety. Okay, this is the nature of the building, I have nothing to say. Now my point is, the proposed variant does not meet the 5 criteria specifically in the planning code for the variance. And it already has
30 seconds remaining.
Non-compliance. And why make it more non-compliance instead of less in compliance? And if this is variant to be granted, it's going to set a very, I don't know, good or bad example for the whole neighbors. And granting the variant would also be setting up negative example for other properties to follow. And before this proposal, no consultation to me at all. And safety issue is the most concern.
Thank you. So it's again, this is the same safety concern about someone being able to access the building?
That's one of them, and noisy and quiet enjoyment. And in fact, that I have a letter from my tenant. I don't know whether you have received it because they sent it out late yesterday, almost 5 p.m. And according to the same bond, then it seems like the existing structure is may not be legally completely, because it seems like only within that, no staircase. And I recall back on the earthquake day in 1989, I had the permission with the prior owner to put a siding on my wall. Then I don't recall I seen staircase in that building.
Okay.
Yeah.
But and you live in the
building? I living in 2543 for almost 30 years, and I own the 2539. 26 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And but during that time, you're not sure if the stairs were added at some point?
Well, honestly, I'm really private and low key. Okay. I'm not nosy. But when I recall on the day when I have the worker put on the siding on my building, 2539 post, and then I have a permission with the subject property previous owner, then my worker was working in the backyard. I don't recall there's a staircase. But nevertheless, the point is, whatever quote unquote not compliant, it shouldn't be more not compliant with the new application. It should be like more compliant with the code.
Okay. And so there was another, the safety concern. Now, could someone, one of the tenants of your building, use the fire escape to go to the roof and get to the deck on the neighboring building? So
yes, it's, each of the building is 5 units, so we're talking about 10 households.
Okay, and then there was concerns about noise. Have there been any noise complaints currently, because there currently is a deck there, have there been any issues?
None of I know that. I can patch you with this letter, that's the tenant that might be easily saving time and more efficiency, and also the same one there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Well, this is the final. Is there any other public comment on this item on 2529 to 2533 Post Street?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is Christopher Dowdy, and I own the top unit that was the deck she showed. So
this is a three-unit condominium?
It's a three-unit condominium with secure access. You have to come in through the household to get to the rear deck. There's no alleyway for public access.
And are all the units owner-occupied?
I just moved down to my top one, and so two out of three are. But for the 20 years that I've lived there, they've all been owner-occupied. And I just wanted to address the first thing about the most recent thing that Alice said was that the deck, about the stairs and such. I've been there for 20 years. We actually had maybe 15 years ago an over-the-counter repair on the stairs and stuff. So the stairs were there, and that's kind of a non-issue. I'm not sure what she's talking about. The roof of the building, I think you expressed well that it goes both ways. 10 units of her tenants can, in a much more unsecure building than ours, can certainly come to our house and our yard. So it kind of works both ways. The roof of the building has access now. In fact, Alice was kind enough to allow us to paint the side of the building using her roof, and you just step off and go onto her roof. It will be closer now, it would be a butter against it, but there's perfectly, the access is essentially the same. It's kind of a distinction without a difference. And as far as complaints, I've always thought that Alice and I have a wife and a kid, and that's about, there's not a lot of parties going on the deck. So anyway, I just wanted to address those three things and about safety issues. I kind of think it's the same thing. And if anything, our safety is more impacted from the number of units that they have with access to our building. So it's kind of, that's it.
All right, thank you for your comments.
You bet.
Any other testimony for 2529, 2533 Post Streets?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Kevin Weil. I'm the owner of 2531, the middle unit. And I
just wanted to point out that we invited all the neighbors to the pre-app hearing, so we can go over the plans and talk about what's going on there. And in that process, we have learned that this is a deck that needs to be replaced. This is a hardship where we need to fix it, do something with it. And as a part of going through that process, we use privacy as a design criteria, not just for ourselves, but also with the neighbors who are on the opposite side of the property that can actually see into our yard, and we can see into their yard. And so keeping it so that the view is private for everybody was important to when we designed it. We also are very interested in keeping an aesthetic of the neighborhood and with the building. It's an 1880s Grand Victorian. We spent nearly $40,000 on a nine-color Bob Buchter design on front, and then later spent another $5,000 to extend a minimal design like that onto the back so that we can keep the building the same color. And so as part of that process, actually, is when we got permission to use the roof to do the painting on the side of the house. So, and then the last thing I just wanted to mention is that this is our primary open space, this deck, and we're trying to, as part of this design, working with Andy, able to create a design that allows us to improve our use of that open space without dramatically changing the footprint or any of the area that's already occupied by the deck that needs to be replaced.
Thank you for your comments.
Thanks.
Any other comments on 2529, 2532 Post Street? The project sponsor, if you'd like to add a few comments.
You have 3 minutes too, sir.
Yeah, I would just like to respond to the safety issue. One point I would like to point out that the current deck has no firewall on it. So, from that standpoint of safety, we're greatly improving the safety by providing a very extensive firewall on that entire length of that property line. Also, the position of the current deck is only a few feet away from the area or location you're talking about where you can jump up onto the existing roof. So we're not really changing that configuration that much. I mean, someone can easily do what she's talking about right now as opposed to what we're proposing. So I don't see much difference in the current deck as compared to the proposed deck and what she's mentioning.
So I think it is important to note the added safety from the firewall. Additional, given the fact that it is a firewall, the construction of that, I would imagine, though would not be certain, that it might provide some noise attenuation. So it might actually soften the sound transmission between the buildings. And given the age of the building is clearly a historic resource. It does have a significant front setback that results in an encroaching into the required rear yard, even though the lot dimensions themselves are not necessarily substandard at 110 feet deep. I think given that there are 3 units in the building, there is a very clear need for usable open space at each of those levels in the rear. I think it is very reasonable to have decks, even have decks that would be expanded from the previous decks. That said, I would request that the project sponsor at least have one more meeting with the concerned neighbors to go over these issues, see if there's some way to address it. It sounds like the major concern is about security going back and forth, and so if there are some creative solutions there that might kind of reduce that, and I don't know if it's a trellis with some landscaping or something that might maybe trellis maybe a bad example, so that could be something to climb on, but just some buffer between the two that might prevent that, address some of the neighbors' concerns. So like just have a conversation about that, see if there's some solution that would be agreeable to both parties. Generally, I'm inclined to grant a variance here, but we'd like the parties to be further. So the public hearing is closed. Would also hold off on issuing a final decision letter until we complete a Section 311 notification on the project. And with that, we can think about the last item. So we will have general public comment. If there's anyone here for general public comment.
Seeing none, this hearing is closed, and we will meet again on Wednesday, August 22nd, 2012. Thank you.
Let me comment.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Is the mic on? Okay, good. As a property, my understanding, the variance, is on the hardship. And today's a lot of cases with hardship, but the 25, I mean, but the Post Street case, no hardship at all. And secondly, then we have
the
why.
This is for general public comment,
okay.
But I have that out on the counter. I appreciate your comments.
The hardship, but hardship is general.
Correct.
Okay. And also, common sense, if detached from one building or whatever, it will be less trouble for construction, noise, safety, whatsoever. And in common sense, if an addition, good building, or less good building, or less good workmanship, it will trap the noise leakage is one concern. Moist is one concern, and moist can create it as meltdown wall that even more scare. And safety, noises, and it is some concern too. Okay, so as a topic that I would say that basic, there's no hardship in the apply for the variance in this case. Simply, they just want to be more enjoyment, and it's a personal choice to enlarge the depth and the space.
So again, this is general public comment. So
Thank you.
Response to your comments and concerns about building close together. This is a zero lot line city. I think we can go anywhere in the city and see that we build at zero lot line. So we're right up against each other. And I think that the technology, the craftsmanship, the ability to construct, have proven over and over again that we can build at those close tolerances and still provide good, you know, weather sealing and provide for that. So
thank you
for your comments. And again, you know, we encourage you to speak to your neighbor and see if you can work out some of your concerns. And so again, the public hearing is closed.